I'm Steve Ribeiro, joined by Johnny Gomez. The Rams are 3-1. They beat the Arizona Cardinals this week. They beat Tampa Bay and Seattle the last 2 weeks. They're in first in the division, and they've looked great. And this is much better than we expected after week one. But we got to start with an apology to Brian Quick, who all of us on this show have knocked and been really hard on. He stepped up the last 2 weeks. He has 3 touchdowns. We're sorry, Brian.
Yeah, I definitely was one of the the biggest advocates for cutting him. So, yeah, definitely have to make an apology to him. I mean, this is exactly the Brian Quick that we've all come to hope that he can become. So, yeah, definitely try and be a little more supportive tip for him. Because this is kind of a guy that we hoped would be our legitimate number two receiver. And if he continues to play at the level that he's been playing, hopefully, you know, this turns out to be a decent receiving core. I mean, we've seen Kenny Britt step up. You know, Brian Quick has stepped up. So if this can continue, if they can be consistent, this is going to be a decent receiving core. Maybe not the best out there, but, you know, a decent one. And Brian Quick, I mean, he showed that, hey, maybe he does have some hands after all.
Yeah, he's made great – all 3 of his touchdowns were great plays. He ran a real nice route last week against Tampa. He had a great goal line catch this week, a play that they've tried to run to him in the past that just hasn't really worked out as we would hope. And this week he made a great play there. And he had that big touchdown against Arizona as well where he broke a couple tackles. Brian Quick has looked good the last 2 weeks. You know, he's been promising. If he can keep it up, if he can play like he did during that brief stretch in 2014, like he is now, we might really have something here. And maybe if defense does start keying in on Brian Quick, it'll open things up for Tavon. This is great for the offense. I'm happy for Brian Quick. I thought he was going to make the team because I knew we needed him based on the lack of NFL experience of the guys under him. But I was also on the side of everyone that I didn't really think there was anything left in the tank, and I didn't really think he had any potential. I think we can all say we're pleasantly surprised that we've been proven wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And the key here is just for him to remain consistent, see how he does when we go into, you know, when they come back to L.A. against Buffalo.
The Rams are sitting at 3-1 and leading their division. So I want to ask, are they a playoff contender?
Well, it really depends on how the NFC West turns out. I mean, it's a really kind of surprising. I mean, first off, nobody was expecting the Arizona Cardinals to be 1-3 at this point. That is just completely a shock. And mind you, Arizona has played some pretty tough teams. You know, starting off with New England and almost winning New England too. So, you know, definitely this was an interesting division because it's not exactly what we were envisioning. The Seahawks, you know, are doing okay, I guess, you know, 2-2. Frisco is pretty much exactly where we thought they'd be, even though they kind of dominated us in week one. So it really just depends on the Rams at this point. If the Rams can continue, you know, to somehow to figure out how to win games like this, yeah, absolutely. I could see them becoming this playoff team. How far they get, I don't know. But, you know, little things can definitely help this team and hopefully help them surpass what they've done. Because being 100% honest, and I know I'm going to get some flack for this, being 100% honest, this was probably one of the first games or the first game of this season that I feel like the Rams earned this win, like they deserved it. The past 2 games, while yeah, they won, and I give them hats off, you know, they earned the W, but there was a very good possibility that they could have lost that game. So this win was a well-earned win, a well-deserved win against a pretty tough team in Arizona. So, you know, hats off to them. Hopefully we can continue this. And, yeah, I'll definitely eat some crow for, you know, doubting the Rams. And hopefully, because, you know, coming into this, I was thinking this was another 7-9 team. I was even kind of going with the whole 7-9 bullshit thing. But yeah, if they can make the playoffs, absolutely, I'll eat my fair share of crow. I will admit when I'm wrong, and hey, you know, hopefully I'm proven wrong. I want to be wrong in this case.
They definitely, at this point, you know, they've got to be considered a contender. I find it hard to believe that they would win the division, but even for a wild card, because you look at their schedule right now, if they keep playing like this, they're home against the Bills, they're at Detroit, and they're home against the Giants. We're probably going to be the favorite in all three of those games. They should win all three of those games. If they win those games, they're 6-1 on a six-game win streak. The schedule heats up a little bit after that, but you got to find it hard to believe that if they're 6-1, you know, would they? Four wins after that is very doable. You look at their schedule after the bye. The home against the Panthers, not the team we thought they'd be. At the Jets, not the team we thought they'd be. At the Saints, not the team we thought they'd be. So, I mean, even come out of the bye, all four of those games are winnables. So we'll get a little into the offense. The line this week was not great. And in particular, Greg Robinson, yet again, looked awful. Is it time to move on from him? I don't really see as another solution on the team, but after the season, do you think he should be gone?
You know, I kind of toyed with the idea of moving Robinson back to guard. I felt like when he was guard, he wasn't the best player, but I felt like he was serviceable. And while guard, we actually kind of have a surplus, but as of now, I just don't see him as a left tackle. And that's concerning. I feel like if Garrett Reynolds were still with the Rams, I would probably bench Greg Robinson. But the Rams at this point are in the position where they can't help, you know, but start him at left tackle. He's probably the only one capable of doing, you know, playing left tackle. You know, the first couple games, he looked like he was doing okay. And I was hoping that he would just adjust, but I don't know. He just doesn't seem like he's really adjusting well. And it's pretty evident that, you know, he's not going to improve a whole lot if he continues down this path. Penalties have killed us, and he's part of the reason for it. So, yeah, as far as Robinson is concerned, next year I would highly try and consider moving Robinson, you know, to a backup role or possibly even cut him.
Yeah, you gotta – they have to make a decision on Robinson. They have, like – the Robinson experience on the left tackle. There's not better options this year, though. They should leave him there for now, I guess. But long term, he should not be playing left tackle. They should either move him back to guard, where he looked okay, or they should just move on from him and get a new tackle and guard, I suppose. He had some brutal penalties this week. He didn't look great. He got a 30 from Pro Football Focus for his grade. Not great. So, yeah, I mean, I think they got to really make a call on him in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially concerning because you're talking about protecting Jared Goff, our future. Well, considering Case Keenum is in right now, I mean, Goff is going to get pulverized if Robinson continues to protect his blind side. So that's something for the front office to consider. And I don't know if the Rams will be in a position to really pick up a left tackle next year. They could try it through free agency, but they're going to be paying top dollar. And I just don't know if we have the space. And then on top of that, try and fulfill other needs to be able to do that. So this is where it becomes a little bit alarming because – we have to consider other positions plus, you know, other guys that whose contracts are about to expire. I don't know. This one's becoming a mystery for me.
Yeah, there really is still a decent chance that we go into the year with Robinson next year as left tackle, because, like you said, we don't know what our options are going to be. We got a lot of money invested in good players, but a lot of money invested in players nonetheless. So the offensive line directly leads into the struggles in the running game. A lot of this is because people aren't scared of Case Keenum, and he's doing a good job of making them a little bit more scared over the past 2 weeks. But the running game is still not there. They're still feeding Gurley, and just nothing's coming from it. And I don't believe it's Todd's fault. I don't believe it, you think it is either. Is this ever going to get going? At what point does the running game start to look like it did last year during the stretches where Todd was going off?
It's really hard to say because we're talking about a lot of defenses that just know what we're getting with Todd Gurley. They know if we feed him the ball, he's gonna try and bulldoze his way through. So pretty much defenses are not doing anything, you know, that spectacular. They're just stacking the box, and you know, the offensive line is not pushing back. Not a whole lot is really being created for Todd Gurley. So Todd Gurley is also, if you really look at what he was doing against Arizona, he wasn't exactly doing the good footwork that we were used to last year too. I think he's just trying to make something happen, and you could tell the frustration is there. So he's gonna try and do anything new to be able to, you know, break out through anywhere, but it's just not working. So that just leaves us, well, if Todd Gurley can't make it happen, why not try and, you know, hand the ball off to somebody else? Not saying to, you know, of course, take any, you know, significant snaps away from Gurley, but why not try and throw in Malcolm Brown or Benny Cunningham? I know Cunningham got a little bit banged up in the last game, but, you know, it wouldn't hurt to, you know, hand the ball off to somebody else. This way we can change up the offense a little bit, change up the rhythm. This way we don't just see Gurley get maybe 1 to 2 yards per carry. But also try and if the run game is not working, utilize him in the passing game, because as we've seen with that amazing one-handed catch, he can do some damage in the backfield as far as receiving the ball. So yeah, there are other ways to utilize Todd Gurley without just seeing him continuously just get 1 to 2 yards.
And they proved that this week when they actually started getting the ball in the passing game. And you make a good point, because should Benny Cunningham be getting the bulk of the carries? Absolutely not. But when he comes onto the field, defenses basically assume they're going to pass, and they change according to that. Same goes for Todd Gurley. When he's in the field, they expect the run, they stack the box. So mixing Cunningham up with a little more carries might throw off the defense, and when he's in, it'll help open up the passing game if he's also considered a run threat. And the same goes for what they did with Gurley this week. They started throwing him the ball. He looked good on that big 33-yard catch. You got to get ways to get him the ball, and you got to get ways to get the run game successful. Like you said, maybe throw some other guys in there just to get the defense off their feet a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I also appreciated that it wasn't just, you know, a quick out, you know, towards the left or the right side. You know, they actually let him get upfield a bit. And that's ultimately what I wanted to see the coaching staff do, is have Keenum, you know, throw upfield a little bit. I don't know if it's coaching staff or just Keenum trying to get rid of the football quickly, but way too many passes at the line. You know, you don't need to have too much time to just get a couple yards upfield. It's better than just waiting and just perfect opportunity for defenses to pick apart, you know, the offense, get a, you know, loss of yardage or potentially a pick six. And that's what I'm waiting for, is for them to just get a pick six, which thankfully hasn't happened too often but hopefully they'll continue this diversified passing attack and continue to use Todd Gurley in this as well.
Yeah, the passing game has improved a lot over the past 2 weeks. Like you said, they're finally letting Case Keenum take some shots. It really worked against Tampa Bay. It worked this week as well. The play to Quick wasn't a huge shot, but it was a play that ended up breaking free. They're finally making the passing game something that defenses, whether they like it or not, have to pay some attention to. Arizona saw it themselves. They weren't going to let Todd Gurley beat them, and Case Keenum managed to beat them. And with the interceptions, the one against Tampa Bay, Daquan, was bad. It was a really bad play. But other than that, over the past few weeks, he's looked pretty good overall. He's looked like the Case Keenum that we know we can trust to not make mistakes. You know, I'm a fan of how he's played the last few weeks. I'm a fan of how the team has done their play calling, despite what we've mentioned in the running game. This is probably still the best play calling of the Jeff Fisher era, because, I mean, I don't even want to get going on the shoddy, the Brian Schottenheimer. Just that I'm just going to pass on talking about Brian Schottenheimer at all. But yeah, this offense has, they've looked all right. And with the defense, if the offense can continue to play like this, they'll win games. And hopefully at some point, if the passing game continues to play like this, defenses will back out of the box and it'll open up holes for Gurley if the line, which hasn't been playing great, steps up a little bit and helps him out.
Yeah, I will agree to an extent. Like, I definitely agree that the offense has improved, especially when you go back to week one. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere but up, right? But yeah, so I definitely agree there has been a ton of improvement. While I won't say Keenum was perfect on this past Sunday, but he has stepped up. He's done pretty much everything you asked of him. And I know we've kind of been wondering when we're going to replace him, but it's kind of hard to replace a guy that's winning you games. In terms of coaching, I still have a question mark on coaching. There's just it's gotten better. Don't get me wrong, it's gotten better, but certain things that just really bother me. One of the things that really, really stick out to me is when on 4th and 1, I can't remember which quarter it was. I believe it was the 2nd quarter. There was an opportunity for the Rams to advance and potentially, you know, get a you know, field goal or touchdown. But we decided upon it on 4th and 1, only for Fisher to go for it on, what was it, a 4th and 5?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And it was completely unnecessary at that point. Why go for it there instead of going for it on 4th and 1 when you had the momentum? I don't understand it, you know. But that's just me. I know I've been really critical of Jeff Fisher and hasn't been exactly received well by some of the fans in our community. I'm sorry, I just, you know, Jeff Fisher,
the support,
a lot of questionable decisions by his
rising.
Yeah.
I will say Fisher, I was talking more about play calling, but in terms of coaching in general, he's had a game plan each of the last 3 weeks. They're all pretty decent game plans. And the game plan against Seattle, they played conservative, they dared the Seattle offense to beat them because for some reason this guy always has Seattle's number. That was good. Tampa Bay, they tried to shut down Mike Evans by having Tremaine Johnson on him. It was a good game plan. It didn't work, but we still managed to squeak out of that game. And this week, they took advantage of the Cardinals stacking the box and threw the ball more. It didn't work. But like you said, there's still glaring issues and glaring flaws with Jeff Fisher. First of all, we're 4th in the league in penalties per game. I mean, this guy's been around football for almost 40 years. How his teams are consistently in the bottom of the league in penalties is mind-blowing. It's not like he's a young guy that people don't respect. players respect him for whatever reason, but probably because, like I said, he's been around the game for so long, and the fact that, you know, we had captains getting thrown out week one, we've had guys getting ejected in half the games, we've had boneheaded penalties every week in big, big moments. It, you know, I don't get how we're still this bad. And we didn't even mention the two awful challenges that he had this week. And that can't all be on Jeff Fisher. It's 2016. Like, how did the guys in the booth not have the technology to go, hey, Jeff, that wasn't a catch. Don't challenge it. Twice. Twice that happened.
Yeah, I was kind of questioning that myself. Like, how are they challenged? Why? You know, clearly both times it was clear that the Rams were going to lose the challenge. And
yeah.
Luckily, I mean, it didn't come back to harm us, but for closer games like this, that could really be the difference between a win and a loss. And luckily for the Rams, you know, the Rams had control of the game, but I don't know, against these tougher games that are coming up, this could be really detrimental to a win or a loss. And that's kind of what I mean about just having a little lack of faith in Jeff Fisher. But I will give him props because, hey, you know, we are 3-1 going into this. I don't know if there's very many of us that really envisioned us being 3-1, you know, going into the start of the season.
No, not many of us at all. Al, transition around this, do you think this start is just increasing the likelihood that he's going to be extended after during the season or after? I personally think that the start is, you know, if they keep it up, yeah, he's 100% getting extended. He's going to be a coach for a while. But now that they're 3-1, you know, the classic Rams going 8-8 thing will be more noticed if that happens again, because the team is off to a good start. If they start dropping games to Buffalo and to Detroit, Kroenke has got to take note. And Snead, you know, maybe as an effort to save his job, lets go of Fisher and tries to bring in somebody else. But if they're the playoff contending team that we talked about, I don't think there's a question that Fisher's a coach next year.
Yeah, I mean, if they make it to the playoffs, heck, why not? You know, at that point, why not go ahead and throw him an extension? Snead, of the two, I would be more willing to give Snead more of a chance than I would be willing with Fisher. But as far as Fisher goes, I'll always be iffy about him. And it's because we haven't really seen much since he's arrived with the Rams. But, you know, if he starts, you know, putting up you know, some winning seasons, absolutely. I'll support him 100% if that's the case. But as of now, if you were to ask me, you know, should the Rams give him an extension, I would say no still.
Yeah, you got to – I don't think you should extend him during the year. You have to see how it plays out. You know, if they extend him, they're going to pay him. Odds are he's not going to leave for greener pastures because, you know, where would he go? And as far as Snead, I really don't think you can fairly fire him until we see Jared Goff on the field. Because we've talked about this, you've written about this, that's going to be Lesney's legacy, is that trade. Even though he's made a lot of great decisions, such as the RG3 trade for the year, it's kind of, where has that gotten us? Goff has got to be the guy that takes us to the next level.
Yeah, agreed on both.
Yeah. So the defense, once again, looked fantastic this week. And finally, we've been hyping this up throughout the podcast and the offseason and the season. EJ Gaines was on the field, and he looked great. He scored an 85.9 on Pro Football Focus, third highest on the defense, only behind Aaron Donald and Tremaine Johnson, who played out of his mind. I guess what we got to say is, has this proven that we didn't need to re-sign Janoris Jenkins, that he is what they expected?
You know, as far as Janoris goes, I you know, a lot of people were saying we should have re-signed him, But the reality is he just got a ridiculous payday, and yeah. It's just money that the Rams didn't have and don't have still. I personally knew that EJ Gaines was going to be that guy. It was just a matter of, was he going to be healthy or not? And it clearly showed, you know, a lot of people wondered, how did they play so well against the Arizona Cardinals? And then you see last week against the Tampa Bay Bucks, just surrendering so many passing yards, so many touchdowns. And that was the answer right there, was E.J. Gaines, because you didn't have Cody Sensabaugh or Troy Hill out there starting on the other side of Tremaine Johnson. So, you know, I don't mind Troy Hill, especially coming out every now and then. He's gonna make some mistakes here and there, just because, you know, hey, he's young. You know, this isn't a simple game, and cornerback is one of the most toughest positions on the defense. So I don't mind it so much from Troy Hill, but with Sensabaugh and Hill coming off the bench, that's what they need to do, or coming in situationally. That's what it needs to be like, not starting. And Gaines clearly made his presence felt. Was really happy what I saw with him. As you said, Tremaine Johnson, man, he played insanely. And I know he technically only had one pick, but there were a couple picks he could have had, and some he wished he could have had.
Yeah, true play, insane. And you look at the box score, people could be like, well, John Brown had 144 yards. Well, you know why? Because the other two cornerbacks were worried about the other two receivers. Normally, I mean, it's unlikely for the rest of the year the Rams are not going to be playing a receiving core that has three legitimate receivers like that. So if you've got even two guys, you've got Gaines and you've got Johnson to cover them, you know, Fitzgerald and Floyd had a touchdown, but outside of that, neither of them played too great. They were shut down for the most part, and the secondary finally, you know, our concerns are over, because, you know, we like Troy Hill, but he's not a starter. Sensabaugh was a scratch this week, which was very nice to see. I know you would definitely enjoy that as well.
Mm-hmm.
The secondary is coming into form, and I will admit I was hard on the safeties. Cody Davis doesn't look bad at all. He's played pretty well. T.J. McDonald's back. There were a lot of questions going into the season with him. He's shut them all out. This defense is the real deal. We criticized the move with Ayers, but they've looked good. They've had guys step up. They've had different schemes. They've made it work. And even this week without Will Hayes, they still got pressure thanks to that insanely deep defensive line. There's nothing to criticize this week on defense. Nothing.
No, not at all. I mean, you know, mistakes will be made. It's a part of the game. But, you know, like you said, this defense actually really stepped up. I was really happy with what I saw out there. I was really proud of what I saw out there, because it was really smash-mouth football. Whenever there was any sort of catch out there, or you seen any of the Johnsons out there running the football, they paid for it. There was so many hard hits out there. One of the reasons why there was a couple injuries with the Cardinals, and one of the reasons why Palmer ended up with concussion like protocol. So, you know, extremely happy with what I saw. Have to make a shout out to Mark Barron, who's performed really well the past couple of games.
Yeah, huge pick at the end.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely happy with what I've seen. And looking forward, hopefully Gaines can stay healthy. We need a healthy Gaines. That's really all the Rams can really hope for at this point. And I will also agree with you about Cody Davis. I was probably harder on him than just about anybody. And, you know, he's stepped up, man. He made a couple nice pass deflections. Couldn't be happy with his performance this past game.
Yeah. Yeah, we really expected Cody Davis to. He's been on the team for a while and he never really stepped up, but we got to give him props. And we do have to mention, we may have been bailed out a little, Carson Palmer getting hurt. But it was a clean hit. It wasn't dirty at all. It's a result of the pressure that got all game. And either way, the Rams fought for this victory, and they earned this week.
Yeah, it was a real nice team victory. Absolutely.
Thanks for listening this week. The 3-1 division-leading Los Angeles Rams have a home game against Buffalo. Hopefully, we come out with a win. And hopefully, we're sitting at 4-1 and looking pretty. We'll see you guys next week. And we'll probably have a preview of that game later on in the week.